B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Hour 2, Felger Maz from Banner's Kitchen and Tap here at the Garden. Again, in advance of Bruins Penguins. They got a chance to show to redeem themselves, too. Bruins against Pittsburgh. Toughen up a little bit against a team that you should hate.
Absolutely.
And want to compete with. So there's a, you know, I can say the same thing about them. Are the Bruins lacking an intangible component? A little different than the Celtics, but an intangible mentality component, too. I think that's fair to ask about that Bruins team. That's my worry about that Bruins team. All right, so that's on the table. Again, Banner's Kitchen and Tap. Again, if you're coming to the Bruins for one of these nights or any of these Garden nights, check this place out. It is a tremendous room. It is. I'm not just saying it because we got an agreement with them and we're here. This place is, as in terms of a pregame setting, it's really as good as it gets.
Get that bacon appetizer.
The bacon appetizer is one to keep an eye on as well. All right, who needs this weekend the most in the NFL? Who needs the next championship the most? Who's got the most at stake? Who's got the most to gain? Most to win or lose?
Andy Reid.
Aaron Rodgers.
I go Andy Reid, and the reason I go Andy Reid is because...
There's really only two choices.
Okay, look at the career path. I mean, again, the guy's been around forever. He wins everywhere he goes. He took the Eagles to, what was it, four straight conference championship games in a row. Now he's got the best quarterback in the league.
Do you know where Andy Reid ranks all-time wins?
Is he in the top 10?
Sixth.
Okay, so...
Sixth.
I'm not surprised. I mean, again, we're talking about a guy who's got one major glaring hole on his resume.
That list that Belichick's chasing? Shula, 347. Halas, 324. Belichick, third at 304. Tom Landry, fourth at 270. Curly Lambeau, fifth at 229. Andy Reid, sixth at 220.
So among, like, you know, modern coaches, he's like in the fourth.
I mean, he is.
Yeah, he's way up there.
He is up there with Tom Landry, Curly Lambeau. Belichick is passing by a good deal, but he's right. He's just ahead of Chuck Knoll. I mean.
But everyone expects him to screw up. I feel like his legacy set. He's an excellent coach.
Oh, see, but
he's also a bit of a boob who can't win the big one.
No, but that's why it's important, Murray, because his legacy can change.
Yeah, if they win it this year, there's the asterisk, probably not the right word, but it's the people look at it. I know I'll look at it. It's like you have Patrick Mahomes, who's the best young quarterback in the game. You have this unbelievable offense.
It doesn't
matter. About you, it's about Mahomes.
Doesn't matter.
But Murray's right, though. It's not going to change Andy Reid's perception. People are just going to say,
it's about time.
Every dog gets his day.
Yeah.
He backed into one. Okay. He finally got it. He's still a choker. He still doesn't know the clock. He's still a second-tier coach, third-tier coach. He just finally got his because he knocked at the door long enough.
Yeah, but you know, once you get that Super Bowl, then it becomes a yeah, but. But it's, you know, once you get the Super Bowl, you won one. You won one. It's just, it's not the same as going 0-for.
Well, I'll say
this. No matter how you slice it up, it's not the same.
Getting him one guarantees the Hall of Fame, as we now know. Win one freaking Super Bowl, Bill Cowher, and you're in the Hall of Fame.
Lock.
If you don't win a Super Bowl, you know, like Marty Schottenheimer is right behind him on these lists. Marty Schottenheimer.
Over.
Andy Reid is sixth. Chuck Knoll is seventh. Marty Schottenheimer is eighth at 205. He ain't getting in.
No.
No, nor should he.
Number nine is Dan Reeves at 201. He ain't getting in because he didn't win one. But if those guys had just won one, if Marty had won one, they'd put his ass in there.
See, I happen to think Andy Reid's a good coach. And, like, I'm not telling you he's a great coach, but once you get the title, yeah, a lot of that goes away.
I mean, I'm playing to your side of the street. It would definitely help him. I think Rodgers is more at stake.
Yeah, same here. And because for all his talent, and I love watching him play. I'm not one of these typical Patriot babies, like, you know, as soon as you say anything good about Rodgers, they get on the phone like, oh, yeah, but what about? No, Rodgers, for all his talent, if he ends up with just one title, It's ugly. I think that is a legitimate stain on his career, and he's had other great chances. 2011, as you know, Mike, 15-1. They lose that divisional game to the Giants, who end up winning that Super Bowl. 2014, they go to Seattle. They're up in that game. They blow it. We're robbed of Brady Rogers in that Super Bowl. 2016, they get to the NFC Championship game by Atlanta against Atlanta. They get waxed. No shot in that. So he's had his shots, and he's failed in those moments, or he's played bigger. The team's let him down, but he should have another ring. And this is another great shot, and if he misses out this time, how many more is he going to have? If he retires, Aaron Rodgers retires with one ring, that's an underachievement.
I mean, I happen to think Kansas City is a better team than Green Bay. So it's another reason I put more pressure on Reed than I do on Rodgers. I mean, I thought Green Bay was going to lose last week. They won. They played well. I'm not taking it away. For his legacy, Rodgers absolutely needs another title, if not more than one more.
Let me ask you, who's the second-best quarterback of the Brady era? And now you can the half guys, like Favre, you throw Favre on your list, throw Rodgers on your list. Favre took the first half of Brady's tenure, Rodgers got the second. You can, you know, Roethlisberger, Rivers, Eli,
Peyton
Breeze.
Manning.
Okay, okay. So who's the second best quarterback of the Brady era?
Peyton Manning.
Okay, because when we did this before, I think you guys said Rodgers. I had Peyton Manning. But Brady Manning, who's third?
Rodgers.
Probably Rodgers, yeah. I'm hedging only because I'm seriously thinking about Russell Wilson. I think Russell Wilson's stock is so high at the moment.
When did he come into the league?
12.
Yeah, he's 7 or 8 years now. I mean, and what? He's played in a couple of Super Bowls. They're in the playoffs every year.
I mean, I'd allow this. I think here's what I think's at stake for Rodgers, and it's not insignificant. To be the second greatest quarterback of his era.
Sure.
Okay, so, like, anyone who puts him next to Brady or on top of Brady, that's just stupid. And that's what gets all the baby Patriots fans out. It's just, like, and they have a case on that because it's dumb. It's, you can't, it's Brady, and then now everyone's playing for second place. But second place is important, okay? So, if Rodgers can win a second, I think he separates from that pack. I put him ahead of Peyton Manning if he wins a second.
So,
because Peyton Manning's second ring was because of the defense. He was a sidecar.
He's a caddy. So,
but I think it, yeah, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you.
Rodgers would have carried him to two championships. Roethlisberger didn't do that. Roethlisberger sucked in one of the championship years that they won.
Yeah, 05, he was garbage in that game.
Okay, so.
I think it validates him as an all-time great.
Yeah, right, exactly. So right now, I think Rodgers is just in this grouping of other good quarterback, really good quarterbacks, Hall of Fame quarterbacks probably, and he's just in that group. I think if he wins another one and is, you know, as it looks like, is going to have a central role in it, then that elevates him.
Sure.
It elevates him above that pack. It doesn't get him to Brady, but it elevates him above that other pack. And I think he needs it to elevate above that pack. Andy Reid is still going to be considered a clueless doofus, whether he wins or not.
It's
he
about
is.
Time he pulled he is. Through.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I put a lot of value on that first title. Because, again, it gets a lot of people off your back. It's never perfect. Rodgers does have one, and I'm not saying that Rodgers doesn't have anything at stake. But Reed doesn't have one, and he has the better team. I'm picking the coach.
Is there anyone? Because I think there's only two guys. I mean, I can't even think of a third. I mean,
so I think there were a couple of guys that, you know, aren't as far along in their careers as those two. But, like, I look at what's going on in San Francisco. You've got the best team in the league now. Baltimore's out. You're the highest remaining seed. And, you know, you invested a lot in this quarterback. Him less so because we sold it off. Shanahan.
Okay, but
Shanahan gagged big time in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. Yeah. That was a huge. No, he wasn't a head coach, but that was a massive choke job.
That would right the wrong of what happened in Atlanta for Kyle Shanahan. But that team overall feels like a year ahead to me.
Young. They're up. Garoppolo's 28. Shanahan's young. They're going to be at it for a while, don't you think?
Yes, I acknowledge all of that. But if you're telling me, is there something at stake for them? Yes. What if they lose and Shanahan makes another mistake?
Yeah. Well,
or Garoppolo throws a pick.
That'd be a shame.
But then some of those narratives that those guys have in their early careers become a little bit bigger and stronger and run deeper through the, you know, the storyline that is their careers. All of a sudden we'll say, well, this is twice for Shanahan, and yep, there it is with Garoppolo. Everyone questions whether he can do it when the, you know, everything's on the table and his nuts are on the line. So now I don't put them in the same class.
I think it'd be silly to do that with Garoppolo. He's never been in this spot.
Okay, so again, I don't.
So he's in his first NFC title game and he loses it. All of a sudden he can't come through. Like, that's just silly.
Yeah,
and Andy Reid, after 20 years of this, you have the right to say that about.
I don't put them in the same class as Reid and Rodgers. I don't. But I think that they have something at stake in this postseason. They do, and maybe it has less to do with winning than it does with how they lose if they lose.
Fair. I mean, right. I mean,
Oh, yeah, no. Garoppolo throws three picks, and that's how they lose that game. Prepare for a blanami from me on Monday.
But if it's a shootout, and Aaron Rodgers goes in there and lights it up, and it's 35-31, and Garoppolo puts 31 points on the board, but Rodgers just gets it because he's dialed in.
Then no, there's no, man, no consequence. Like,
come on. Even I can't say anything. I mean,
yeah, it's Reed and Rodgers.
So it's Reed and Rodgers. I'll just give you a third that I think would be interesting. I think if Richard Sherman won a second with a different team and made some plays, that would sort of solidify him, put him closer into the sort of Revis, Ty Law, Champ Bailey.
Yeah, I mean, he might already be.
But, you know, you start to compile rings, and you do it with two different places, and you make plays along the way. You had an interception last week. I think he would get some, you know, deserved juice out of that, as he should. But Andy Reid, you know, he's 3-7 in his last 10 playoff games.
He was down 24-0 in one of the wins.
He's 3-7 in his last 10 playoff games, and two of those three wins came against Houston. Like, I don't even really want to count those. You know, if it weren't for the Houston Texans, he'd be 1-7 in his. He'd have one win in his last 10 playoff games.
I mean, they could lose this week. I think that Tennessee, in a lot of ways, is a bad matchup for them.
And that KC team last week was categorically not ready to play.
Correct.
Not ready to go. And I'd say the same thing about their previous playoff game, the AFC title game at home against the Patriots last year. They were not ready to go. The Patriots shoved it on them for that first half, and Casey finally woke up and made it a game. But you can't come out like, I just feel like, woefully unprepared as a team.
I mean, which of those two teams, I mean, I feel like that's a team that feels the pressure of their history. And of those two teams in the AFC Championship game, who's playing with house money? Tennessee. I wouldn't be surprised if KC was tight again on Sunday and came out looking like idiots.
Andy Reid has 207 victories, the sixth most in NFL history. The five men in front of him have all won at least two Super Bowls or NFL championships. So he is the only guy. He's like the poster child for this. He is way up there with the greats of the greats in terms of wins, and he's the only one up there not to have a championship. Never mind two, as most of those guys do.
But don't you always expect them to screw it up somehow?
I do. I do. All right, so there's a little leadoff thought for you on NFL weekend. Add that to the list to your calls right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG, it's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Hour 2, Felger and Maz from Banner's Kitchen and Tap here at the Garden. Again, advance of Bruins Penguins. They got a chance to show to redeem themselves, too. Bruins against Pittsburgh. Toughen up a little bit against a team that you should hate.
Absolutely.
And want to compete with. So there's a, you know, I can say the same thing about them. Are the Bruins lacking an intangible component? A little different than the Celtics, but an intangible mentality component, too. I think that's fair to ask about that Bruins team. That's my worry about that Bruins team. All right, so that's on the table. Again, Banner's Kitchen and Tap. Again, if you're coming to the Bruins for one of these nights or any of these garden nights, check this place out. It is a tremendous room. It is. I'm not just saying it because we got an agreement with them and we're here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the entrance to the garden at Banner's Kitchen and Tap, Felger and Maz are live for Bruins Game Day on 98.5, The Sports Hub, and The Sports Hub app.
So what does this mean to Andy Reid's legacy if he can get to the Super Bowl for a second time and win his first one ever after all these years as a head coach?
I think it cements his legacy. And, you know, Mike, I am one of these guys who believes that postseason is important to your career, but it shouldn't mean everything. You know, Ted Williams never won a World Series. Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl. But I still think that they are among the best to ever play their particular game. So I wouldn't say that if Andy Reid never wins a Super Bowl, that he can't be considered in the all-time pantheon of coaches.
So Peter King, everyone gets a ribbon. He's that guy.
That's just a fat guy sticking up for another fat guy.
Everyone gets a medal for Peter King. No, it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that.
Seriously, I that's a good way to put it.
No, he is the everybody gets a trophy guy. He absolutely is. Because I just know this when I used to be a Super Bowl MVP voter, which was like a really important weighted thing. It was way too much for me. I'm a freaking idiot. They'd hand out ballots in the press box for Super Bowl MVP, and they'd only hand out like, I want to say like 10 of them.
Right.
8 of them. So I'd get one of these votes. It's like, I'm not smart enough to be voting on this stuff. So that's one of the reasons Deion Branch was the Super Bowl MVP that year, is because I voted Deion Branch. But I remember Peter King going down the press box during the end of that game saying, this should be split. This should be Branch and Brady, or maybe Branch, Brady, and, well, that was a different Super Bowl. There was a year he wanted to split between Vrabel and you know, he wanted to give like multiple guys. Like, no.
No, this is the whole point of an election.
We're going to pick one.
There's a winner.
Oh, but so anyway, that's just a little. I like Peter King. Believe me, I'm not sitting here ripping on Peter King, but he is of the school of everyone gets a trophy. So he says that even if Andy Reid never wins a Super Bowl, he should still be considered in the all-time pantheon of coaches. And I'm with you. I totally disagree.
No, but this is why I tell you now again. I'm not telling you Rodgers doesn't have anything at stake, but he's won one. Reid hasn't. So, like, you know, you can say that his reputation is not going to change. I disagree vehemently. I think that all of a sudden a lot of that crap goes away. And all of a sudden it's, look, A-Rod, we'll still call him a choker, but he did win. He did win, so we got to let that one goes away, just like David Price.
But in general,
it goes away.
Is it fair to hold postseason failures against a player or a coach?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes,
the games matter the most.
Yes,
of course it is.
What do I always say? It's an exam. It's the final exam. You're judged. It's not fair. You know, you go through English class all year and you do well in the little pop quizzes and your essay, but there's a big test at the end of the year they call it a final exam, and you do poorly on it, and that kills your grade. That's the way it works. It's the way it works in academics, in life. You know, some quarters are more important for others. If you're a salesman, you got to come through in the fourth quarter or the third, whatever it is. If you're in radio, it's the fall and the spring. You got to nut up there. If you're in TV, it's called a sweeps month. They put this tremendous amount of weight on how you do in November and February, and maybe it's May. I'm not even sure. There's a final exam, and there's a final exam in everything, and it gets weighted. And that's the way it works. That's the way the playoffs work. So Dan Marino, sorry. Ted Williams, Buck, and Doris in your backyard in Cambridge, he hit 100. That's on his list. Sorry, it is.
I mean, really, like, I don't know. All of a sudden, we just brush that stuff aside. Now, look, I'm not telling you it's the only factor. But you can't just ignore it and say, well, yeah, but. No, too bad. And Andy Reid, by the way, I was looking up, career winning percentage, .618. In the regular season, .481 in the playoffs.
13-14.
Okay, sub .500. And how about this with Kansas City? Regular season, .688. .688. Playoffs, .375. .375.
No. Not only do you not ignore that, Peter, that becomes the narrative. That becomes the legacy.
I mean, of course it does.
You couldn't pass your final exam.
Okay, so this is, but this is why I say he has more at stake. I mean, his whole career's riding on a Super Bowl. His whole career. Rodgers even still has a little bit of time. Not that Reid doesn't, but at least he's got one.
Yeah, but it comes, if he gets it, it comes with Patrick Mahomes, who's the best young quarterback
so
in the
what?
Game. He's a phenom. It just feels like it's more about Mahomes than it is Reid. And
is it more about Belichick or Brady? He won them all with Brady. I mean,
it's more about Brady to me because I'm a Brady hunk.
So I just think, you know, you get one, you get one. okay? I'm not telling you I think Trent Dilfer is some great player, because I don't.
But Mike's also good, you know, right to point out that two of Andy Reid's wins in the playoffs in his, what, last seven? He comes against Bill O'Brien.
He's 3-7 in his last 10, and two of the wins were against the Texans.
But this, again, but this is why the win would mean something.
I smell you. Okay, back to the phone. Steve in Southie on this. Go ahead, Steve. Steven?
Is it me?
Yep.
Yeah. You guys there?
Yes.
Listen, I agree with you guys. I say Andy Reid's got more on the line here, because during the regular season, he can coach you up and score like nobody's business. But in the playoffs, he throws up like a bulimic fashion model.
Okay, that's a rough analogy, but I get it. Especially if he loses this week.
Oh, my gosh.
If you lose this week.
To Tennessee at home?
Come on. All right, if he gets San Francisco next week, that's a good all-around football team and has established it from week one on. Or if Aaron Rodgers, again, is, you know, decides just to go on this run, you can sort of say, but there's no excuse. If he gags against Tennessee at home with all this laid out in front of him, oh, come on. So, he's going to get the benefit of the Patriots getting bounced in week 17 and getting that break and now getting a bye where he was going to travel here, and then the Ravens get knocked off. He's not going to take advantage of it.
No, they're going to host the AFC Championship game. Again, just think of last week. What was the story? Tennessee winning or Baltimore losing?
Oh, Baltimore losing,
absolutely,
of course.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Tom and Newton on the Red Sox. Go.
Yeah, hey, guys. I want to chime in on this Red Sox situation. I mean, everybody's talking about Alex Cora and the cheating. I think the big picture here is the ownership. I mean, that's the one constant through all these years where, I mean, I'm pretty sure this is the only team in all professional sports that's consistently, you know, competing for a championship one year and then just turning to, you know, to just complete shambles the next. What do you guys think about that,
man? Well, those are talking about two different things. The, you know, that just calamity is always around the door, always around the corner with this Red Sox team. What I look at is the pattern of the Apple Watch and John Farrell in 2017, and then them hiring Alex Cora in 2018. That's the commonality. And then now they have the nerve to go, oh, they were doing what? Oh, it came as a complete surprise to us. I mean, that is fraudulent.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't buy that for a second. And look, in terms of the you know, if this guy wants to talk about the whole 20 years, I mean, they have won four times. Is it four? It's four. Like, you know, I look at that and say, okay, that didn't happen under the old ownership. At the same time, the swings have been off the charts. From the highs to lows with this particular ownership group have been extreme. Schizo.
First place, last place. Win a title, fire the GM. Win a title, fire the GM. And it's staggering. Do they have a program?
Win 119 games a year later, fire the manager.
Everything blows up. Win 119 games, and then everything napalms 13 months later. It's just, again, only the Red Sox. Isaiah in Boston on the Celtics. Go ahead, Isaiah.
Yes, did Kyrie kill Coach Stevens' confidence? Like, he went from Greg Popovich to Brett Brown in, two seasons. All of a sudden, they run the same offensive play over again with Daniel Tice sets the screen. You know Kemba's coming off that curl to shoot the three or do something. They run the same play over. It's almost like I'm at the practice facility, and I know what they're going to run every night.
I'll tell you what, Isaiah. He has lost some of that mojo as a guy being able to get more out of the sum of its parts. The last couple of years, we say, all right, well, it's a Kyrie problem. We're going to blame Kyrie. And I thought, Kyrie blows out of here, takes his a-hole act to Brooklyn, which he has. But anyway, that Brad would get his team back, and it'd be back to that thing where they overachieve and getting more out of this, greater than the sum of their parts. And we got it early in the year, and that looked right to me, but now it's sort of stagnated. Where is that thing?
Good question.
Are they getting better? Are they improving? Are individuals improving? Or
you're not even getting max effort. I mean, that was one of the other calling cards
of
Brad Stevens for a few years here and the Bridges and all that. At least you got max effort night in, night out, no matter who they were playing. You certainly have not seen that here over the last few weeks.
I think some of that is Hayward. You know, Hayward's not the same player he was early in the year. And another part of it's probably losing Horford. I mean, they're not as, they're not as good a half-court team as they used to be.
Here comes the update. We come back with more on Aaron Rodgers and what's at stake for him this weekend.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is your home of the Bruins. It's game day, and Felger and Maz are broadcasting from Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
When Pat comes to you guys with something like that big rub round on first touchdown, what does it do for you just knowing that he's thinking about the game at that level, he's putting you guys in the right spots, just as a player, just as a confidence builder?
That play?
Yeah, just like when he comes to you with it, just like seeing like that kind of, those wrinkles, that sort of creativity, what does it do for you as a player?
I came up with that play.
Oh, okay. There you go then.
I suggested it on Monday.
Okay, there it is.
I'm glad you called it. That's kind of what that point was for. He was pointing at me, I was pointing back at him. Yeah.
What a dick. What a dick this guy is. Aaron Rodgers, okay? This is, if you remember, I think it was the Packers' first touchdown, where it looked like Davante Adams was going to run a little rub route, but then he broke it off to the corner, and it was an easy touchdown. And on the broadcast, Aikman said, great adjustment by Matt LaFleur. They had probably showed that rub route on film over and over and over again, so Matt LaFleur calls an adjustment off of it. And so on the broadcast, Aikman was giving LaFleur all this love for calling that new route. They get to the post game. Aaron, how about your coach dialing that up? Didn't that give you confidence in him? And Aaron says, that was my play. You, Ponus.
Boy, this guy's ego is gigantic.
He
huh?
is.
He's surprised. He's always been this way, though.
A Ponus. So that's his problem. He's not a very likable guy, for sure. But in terms of what's at stake for him this weekend, I think it's huge. I think if he wins and wins where it's about him, and last week was. I mean, he only completed, what, like 19 balls or something.
Something like
but
that,
yeah. Money on the table throws. He was terrific. So last week was about him, and if he wins another one and he's a big piece of it, I think he separates from everybody else in the era other than Brady. Like, so, you know, everyone else is sort of playing for second place, and right now I would say Peyton Manning was the second greatest quarterback of the Brady generation. If Rodgers wins and wins in this fashion, I'll put him up there. And he should have another. I mean, he's too good to just be done with one. Or it's an underachievement, as Murray said. And so that's why I think he's got...
Of this era, him and Russell Wilson should have two. They should at least have two by the time they retire.
Well, Wilson's got more to go. Wilson's 5 years younger or something. How old is Wilson? 31?
Oh, somewhere around there.
Rodgers is 36. Rodgers is running out of time. I don't think Wilson is. All that being said, there is an unfair perception of Rodgers that is just not going to go away, because unless you follow it closely or look at it closely, you're not going to see it, and it's not your job to do it. I don't mind you counting rings or just counting the wins and the losses. I mean, that's fine. But if you've watched it closely, it's unfair. I mean, a lot of his postseason failures are not on him. Most of them aren't. He's 11-7. He's 11-7 career in the postseason, Maz. He's got a 63% completion percentage, 38 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, almost 4-1 TD interception ratio. His all-time postseason rating is 100. That's fourth all-time. He's the fourth highest-rated passer in postseason history. He has lost games. So he has seven postseason losses, right? In four of those, the Packers' defense gave up 37, 44, 45, and 51 points. So, because he didn't put up 52 points on the road in Arizona, he has to, that's a loss?
Well, and that one was literally like 51-45, wasn't it?
51-45. He put up 45 points on the board in Arizona, but they lost on his strip sack. Okay, he had a strip sack that cost him. But he goes up there and puts up 45 points on offense and takes a loss. And he's got a loss on his hands.
I remember that game. Yeah, that wasn't on him.
He's had postseason losses. He threw for 423 yards and four touchdowns in that game, and he put 45 points on the board, and they lost. So that's on Rodgers. In a game against San Francisco, at San Francisco, he put up 31 points. Defense gave up 45 to Kaepernick and that Niners team.
Oh, that was the one where Kaepernick almost ran for
200
yards.
Oh, he ran for like 190 yards or something. That game.
So he goes on the road, puts up 31 points. His defense gives up 45 and can't stop a nosebleed, but that's another loss for Aaron Rodgers.
If I remember correctly, he was the balls in that game against Seattle in 14.
They had that game won.
Yeah.
He was on a bad ankle in that game, too, I remember.
In Seattle on a bad ankle, they are in command. The game is over. Special teams drops an onside kick.
What was that guy's name again?
I can't remember.
Boston,
go ahead. They're up double digits in Seattle, fourth quarter, game in hand. His defense gives up 2 fourth-quarter touchdowns. Special teams drops an onside kick. They then lose the overtime coin flip and let the Hawks score on their first possession. Rodgers never touched the ball in overtime. And he takes a loss in the NFC Championship game. Like, I have a hard time putting that on Aaron Rodgers when, in fact, after Seattle completed that incredible comeback, he led the Packers down for a game-tying field goal to force overtime. Right. People don't even remember that drive.
Correct.
But it was like the whole thing had fallen apart. They had completely collapsed. And Rodgers led that team back to a really ballsy tying field goal with very little time left to get him to overtime. Then they lose the coin flip and they give up a touchdown on the fifth play. And now, like, he takes a loss. There was a playoff game in Arizona where...
That's the Jeff Janis bomb, right?
Aaron Rodgers and the Packers were down 7 points. They were facing a 4th-and-20 at their own 4-yard line with 55 seconds left and no timeouts. Again, 4th-and-20.
I remember this, too.
Their own 4-yard line, 55 seconds left and no timeouts. And Rodgers got a touchdown to tie the game.
That was a Hail Mary, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2 Hail Marys, basically.
Yeah.
But it was Janis to get to midfield. No, Janis was in the end zone. I can't remember who he got on the 4th-and-20. But he completed a 60-yard ball on 4th-and-20 and then completed a Hail Mary. So he, from his own 4, facing a 4th-and-20 with no timeouts and 55 seconds, tied the ball game. It goes to overtime. The Cardinals win the coin flip. The first pass is to Larry Fitzgerald, touchdown. 80 yards to the 5,
oh, yeah,
and they lose.
Right.
And it's like Aaron Rodgers lost that game. I have a hard time blaming him for that game. He's had a bunch of those. Okay, so like that's only if you want to dig deeper on it. This is why when people say he's a postseason choker or doesn't come through, I'm just like, no. I trust him in big spots. I never trusted Favre. Favre is different. Favre should have had that label more than he did, because Favre in a big spot would go back and you'd be 50-50 whether it's a backbreaking pick or something. Rodgers generally has come through in these spots. It's just he's always on the road, for crying out loud. Do you know how many home playoff games he's played in his life?
5-7.
Okay, so he's played 18 postseason games. Only 7 are at home. This is his 4th conference championship game, all on the road. So it's like, I mean, I just have a hard time. Now, there's some years I'll get on him. That home loss against the Giants that you mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
He was bad. They were bad. That's on his resume. I think they were 15-1 that year.
They were, yeah.
So, like, that one I'll give you. No excuse for that one. And maybe, you know, I'm not telling you he's been great every game. But for the most part, the postseason losses haven't been his fault.
Well, look, you asked...
They just haven't.
You asked a question the other day. You know, you're on the game's on the line. You got to go 2 minute drill. Who do you want, him or Patrick Mahomes? And I'm taking Rodgers.
Rank the 4 postseason quarterbacks right now. Rank them. Maz, go first.
Rodgers, Mahomes, Garoppolo, Tannehill.
And I'm going to go Mahomes, Rodgers. Just
do it, do it, do it, do
Mahomes,
it.
Mahomes, Rodgers, Tannehill, and Garoppolo.
I knew he was going to do that.
Come on.
I knew he was going to do that.
You can't put Tannehill ahead of Garoppolo.
Yes, I can. He had a better season than Garoppolo.
Please, stop.
No, I won't.
I did it just for,
I mean, that's just
for Murray.
That's stubborn.
No, you think?
Who had a better season? Who had a better season?
Garoppolo.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
Yes, he did.
The Pro Football
games.
Focus numbers back it up that Tannehill had a better season than Garoppolo.
Oh, my God.
He had a better season than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Then what do I need
that
you for?
Fact.
If I'm just, going to go to Pro Football Focus, what do I need you for?
I knew Murray was going to do that. All right, so you've got Rodgers ahead of Mahomes. Did you have Mahomes ahead of Rodgers?
I did, yeah.
So,
because I'm basing it just on this year, not, you know.
Why do you go Rodgers ahead of Mahomes?
Mahomes has got unbelievable weapons. I mean, unbelievable weapons. And again, I'm factoring in the timing of it, too. And I'm playing off the question I guess you said earlier in the week that you raised. Game on the line, who do you want? And I will trust Rodgers more there. I just think that, you know, you mentioned strip sacks and that he will fumble the ball. He never throws picks. Almost never. And I'm knocking on wood for you. Okay, because I know you get your little green and yellow pants on Sunday. You'll be there with your hip pads and the whole 9 yards.
I've got a raging piece of hard cheddar in my trousers.
So, look, I just think that when you factor in experience and everything else, Rodgers is the best quarterback left in the playoffs.
I think he's
Mahomes is right there.
So, Rodgers, I just think Rodgers is dangerous because when he gets hot, he gets hot. And if he can sniff it, if he can smell that second and he knows what it means to him, that's a dangerous thing. Mahomes has got his whole life in front of him, probably knows it. He's got another 15 cracks at this thing.
He's got a million guys to throw to, too. Rodgers has got one.
Okay.
He's got one.
If I asked you the same question on the coaches, what would your answer be? Hold your answer. We'll get back to your phones as well. It's a long commercial-free segment. Join us at 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is your home of the Bruins. It's game day, and Felger and Maz are broadcasting from Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think the biggest thing is that, you know, we can't change what we've done to get us in this position, to have this opportunity. And, you know, on October 14th, we were 2-4. I was a bad coach, and this was a bad team. And, you know, we tried to believe in each other. We tried to improve. Try to prepare, trust each other, execute, and that's what's gotten us here. So we can't change and start to make things up now.
Mike Vrabel, the Tennessee Titans. Again, we started with who pisses you off more right now, the Bruins or the Celtics? That's still on the table. The Red Sox follow-ups and the latest stuff coming out about the Astros is on the table. And the NFL weekend. Who's got the most at stake? Rodgers, Reed, who's got the most to gain? Rank the quarterbacks. Murray's got Garoppolo fourth. Put Rodgers. Is Rodgers more dangerous than Mahomes right now? Let me ask about the coaches. Rank the coaches. Rank the four coaches in order.
So right now I go Vrabel, Reed, Shanahan, LaFleur.
You already have Vrabel ahead of Reed.
I do. And I'll tell you why, because I thought about this. I said, if Vrabel had Kansas City's team, how would I feel about it? And I'd feel pretty deep.
Yeah, right. You would.
Okay, so that's sort of how I think about it. And Vrabel doesn't have the roster that some of these other guys do. He might not have the roster of the other three teams, really. I mean, I think his defense is pretty good. And the reason I jump Vrabel up that high, Mike, it's not a great coaching field. Fact. So that's another reason why Vrabel's first. If Belichick's in the field, he's not first. So, but I look at it and I say, that game at Baltimore, their defensive game plan was good. Their offense is pretty simple and basic. Okay? I mean, they beat the crap out of you. They run you over and hope that in the fourth quarter you don't want to tackle Derrick Henry anymore. But defensively, he went into Baltimore and did what a lot of teams couldn't do, which is he really stymied Lamar Jackson. They took away the tight ends.
You have Reed. Okay, so you got Vrabel. I'm sorry to cut you off.
And then I have Reed second.
Reed ahead of Shanahan and LaFleur.
I do. Shanahan to me is a young Andy Reed. Like, I sort of look at that and say, based on what I know so far, he gags on the clock at the end of the game.
Got a wonderful offensive scheme.
Yeah.
Really pretty offensive scheme, but can you coach a game?
Right. And so I don't know that yet. And LaFleur, forget it. I mean, I just don't know enough about him yet.
You probably couldn't even pick him out of a lineup.
No. I mean, he might be a great coach, but as long as he's got that quarterback, we'll never know. Or at least at the outset. So there's been nothing spectacular there that's happened with Green Bay. Frankly, I think that the one loss record is a little deceiving. I don't think they're that good.
Oh, in the regular season, for sure. For sure. They eked by a lot of games.
I mean, didn't it come down to, like, their last drive against Detroit both times?
Oh, they were wretched.
Yeah.
They were wretched. I was impressed against Seattle. They played a clean game.
Seattle's not that great either, though.
No, they're not. But I don't think the Packers are that great.
Yeah.
But, no turnovers, no bad penalties. They didn't screw up the clock, you know. There's only one, you know, Devontae Adams after that. The third and eight that Rodgers completed Devontae Adams, everyone was, you know, dropped their jaw over. He ran out of bounds with 2:12 left. Like, that was a stupid play. But for the most part, they played a clean game. But you're right to have him fourth. No one knows about him.
I mean, so where are your top four?
So I go Shanahan one right now.
Shanahan one. Ooh, that's
awesome. I do. I mean, I don't know. I mean, name a team that's better on both sides of the ball.
Okay, but that's not necessarily coaching. There's talent there, too.
There's definitely talent there.
And they've had some bad games on defense. So he's a bit, and you should be on him more than you are. I'm now picking on you. Because he's one of these guys with the play sheet in his hand.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, he's a coordinator. So I need to see it. I'm telling you, he's Andy Reid, you know, 20 years and 100 pounds ago. That's what he is.
100?
150. <Right.
laughs> Shanahan, Vrabel, Reed, LaFleur is how I go on that. Okay.
Boy, you hate Andy Reid.
I mean,
you hate Andy Reid. You don't have enough respect
yes,
for Andy Reid.
He's 3-7 in his last 10 playoff games.
Okay, he's still a good coach.
The way he had that team ready to go last week was a disgrace.
He's won a lot of games in that league.
Okay, let's see. Don't lose to Tennessee.
He might be the second best coach in the league.
Don't lose to Tennessee, Andy. All right, your call's on everything, as promised. Pete and Melton, back to the Red Sox. Go ahead, Pete.
One positive to take out of this Red Sox fiasco is Hanley Ramirez had a pretty good half-final year with Alex Cora. And Lord knows he's neither smart enough nor has the attention span to take part in the sign-stealing things. He must have more raw talent than even I thought. And second, Tony, a question for you. In all seriousness, if the Red Sox were and are so good at stealing signs, wouldn't you expect their base running to be a little better? And I mean that in all seriousness, because their base running was god-awful. And
does one thing have to do with the other?
Not really, no. I mean, I suppose you could say, well, if you know what's coming, you'd be able to steal on a breaking ball or something like that. And last year, they didn't run as well as they did in 2018. I mean, 2018, they ran well and they ran a lot.
Yeah, it's true.
So, you know, I think you might be able to draw some sort of comparison there. But honestly, I think the biggest issue with their base running, at least last year, is they're stupid. They just do stupid. How do you blame for Mookie Betts trying to run on the center fielder in Oakland when they're up down
right.
four runs?
Exactly. So they're not the base running stuff is in play is what I mean. It's not like stealing on an off-speed pitch. It's ball in the gap, and what do you do?
Right.
Oh, horrible. Bobby in Arlington, give me a Bruins thought.
Yeah, I'm starting to get a little aggravated with Cassidy, like the way that the team just panders for power plays. So Tuca takes that shot in the head, and then Nesson throughout the game showed maybe like four or five different Bruins. Just go over to the guy, give him a baby cross check and get in his face, just trying to get him to retaliate to go on the power play instead of just letting the guys go out there and police the game. And that's really, I put it all on the coach.
Okay, let me follow it up with Pat in Boston. Your thoughts on the Bruins' lack of toughness, Pat?
So I'll just be very quick, and it's in terms of acquiring somebody out in the league. I think they should probably go out and try and get Ryan Reeves out of Vegas, simply for the fact that I think that you're probably not going to get lucky enough to not face Washington again in the playoffs this year. And with Wilson going after Pastrnak earlier in the year, when they did that cup final a few years back, you know, Reeves turned Wilson into a shell of himself. And in the playoffs last year, everyone went after Pastrnak, and he was a shell of himself as well. So I'll let you guys take that.
Good one, Pat. Love it. I'll take it. They're definitely going to add. They need to add.
They have to.
You know, I guess Elliot Freeman reported last week that the Bruins have Tyler Toffoli in their back pocket, but they're trying to do better.
Interesting.
Ty Anderson said this to me. I didn't follow up and go read it myself, so I don't know. Maybe you could just – someone could look it up and tell me I'm wrong if I'm wrong. But
yeah, that's been all over Twitter and social media.
Has it?
Yeah.
So that they already have a deal in place for Toffoli. They got the parameters. It's in their back pocket, but they're trying to do better.
So Toffoli's pretty rugged, right? But he's
yep.
not super big either.
He's not super big, but he's played in that L.A. team with that L.A. style, you know, that they had during those cup years where they were a true, grindy, physical, tough team. So old school kind of mentality. So he definitely helps. Reeves in Vegas, fine. The previous caller blames it all on Cassidy. I'm not blaming it on Cassidy. It's how the team's built. I mean, who does he have to throw over the boards to go rough somebody up?
He doesn't really. I mean, again, you know, in theory, I hate to keep throwing it out there because we wait for the guy who never comes back. It's Kevin Miller, at least in part.
And even still, I'm telling you, it's tough when that enforcer's on defense. You don't want – it's got to be a forward.
They need a big forward.
They need probably a couple. I mean, I'll give Cassidy some blame. I think the DNA on the team has gotten a little soft. So the coach is responsible for that to some degree. But how's the roster built? The roster is built on speed and skill.
So I did like his point, though, about it does feel Pastrnak especially will dive to try to get a power play or a penalty. And then, you know, they get caught up ice or something. You know, there's a 3-on-2 going the other way. Like, you know, it feels like they have a little of that with a couple of guys, maybe not a lot. But there's a little of that, too, and that doesn't help.
We continue with your thoughts on all these topics after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here, so don't leave your radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.